Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message. Hey, if you would like to dedicate your baby or your not-so-baby, we can do that in front of you. There's a respond card. You can use that. Let us know. We'll find a Sunday that works for you, and we'll bless them as well. Amen? All right. Well, I want to do two really quick things, and then we're going to jump into the message because I believe it's a good one. Are you with me? Yeah. Really quickly. I want to let you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but our sister Martha hasn't been in church for a while. Not because she's walked away from her faith, not because she got in a fight with me, not because she's angry at somebody at church. No, she hasn't been here because her niece, Isabella, has been very delicate. Granddaughter Isabella has been very delicate of health, and she has spent every day of the week in the hospital with her. So we have been praying for her. And today, this morning, I actually saw from Isabella's mom that she is being moved out of the ICU. Praise God. Yes. That she is being moved out of the ICU, but there's still a long recovery. So here's what we want to do. As a church, we don't do this a lot, okay? And you're going to have to just trust me why we don't do this a lot. We typically do not ask the church for help when it comes to a specific person, because we know there's a lot of needs. And if we did that often, then every Sunday we would be asking money for different people. I've only done this one other time. If you can remember, it was when our brother Steve passed away. And I asked the church, would you help us raise some money to be able to give brother Steve a proper funeral? And this is going to be the second time that I'm going to invite you, okay? I cannot force you, and I will never force you to do anything. If Martha means something to you, and the reason I can say that is because I know she does. That's right. Amen? If she means something to you, we want to be able to bless the family financially. They have had a lot of financial expenses, not just medical expenses, but practical expenses. The family has literally had to live in the hospital the last 3 weeks plus, and there's still a long journey to go. So if you would like to help, Rose is not here today, but in the coming Sundays, when she is here, you can talk to her. Or if you want to do that today, you can take one of the envelopes that is in there and just put special offering for Sister Martha. And we will make sure that what you give goes directly to her. Now, here's what I want you to know. Don't take your tithes and give them for that. This has got to be a special love offering that goes above and beyond your tithes. Okay? If you would like to do that, we want to bless her. And we want her to know not just that we're praying for her, but that we're supporting her. Amen? So that's one thing. The other thing that I just quickly want to address, it's what's going on in our nation. I think it's important for you to hear from me as a pastor. What do we do? How do we respond? Okay. Not just with the raids that are going on in our city, but also with the war that apparently possibly started with the decision the United States made yesterday. My dad called me yesterday, and he said to me, he said, hey, do you think that this means Jesus is coming soon? And I said, Dad, before the U.S. decided to drop those bombs, I believe that Jesus could come any moment. So this doesn't change the fact that I believe that Jesus could come any moment. And I know this sounds kind of cliche, but you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. That was the message of Jesus. Right? With the parable of the virgins, that was the message. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. So here's what I want to say to you, church. There's three things that the Holy Spirit put in my heart for me to share with you. Number one, this is the time to get serious with the Lord. Okay? The Bible speaks very clearly about being lukewarm. And the Bible says that if you're lukewarm, you might as well be cold. So this is a time to press in personally with Jesus. You do not have to fear anything if your faith is in Jesus and you are secure in him.
Hallelujah.
Amen? But here's the second thing. We got to pray. We got to pray. Prayer makes a difference. We can post all we want. But let me tell you, posts don't make a difference. Prayer does. We need to pray for everybody. You want to know something? There's people in our church with family members in Iran. There's people in our church that have had a family member taken away by ISIS. There's people in our church that have directly been impacted by both of the events that we're dealing with. And we need to pray. We need to pray. But here's a third one, and very important. This is the time to tell people about Jesus. This is the time to share the good news. If you were here last week, I spoke about the fact that if we are in the end of times, instead of being afraid, we need to cling to the promise that Jesus gave, that he said that in the last day, he would pour out his spirit. There are many family members, friends, neighbors, people in our community that don't know Jesus. So church, I believe that if we do those three things, we're going to be okay. Okay? And listen, as a church, we need to be light and not darkness. One of the things that I love about Jesus is that Jesus never allowed laws or theology to get in the way of loving people. Did you hear me? Jesus never allowed a law or theology to get in the way of loving people. So we have to be light in the middle of the darkness. I don't know the answers. I don't know what's happening next. But here's what I do know. I am secured in Jesus. Amen. And other people need Jesus as well. All right. Well, if you have your bulletins, I'm going to invite you to open those out. This is how amazing God is. I promise you, we didn't do this intentionally. This is where we can see where God is at work in our church. Amen. Because today we are starting a new series that we've titled, okay, you ready? Battle Ready. We're going to talk about how to live in victory. Amen. And I believe that this series is going to change the way you live, the way you walk, the way you pray. But listen to me. Most importantly, the way you fight. Because I find that many believers do not know how to fight properly. That's why you see these fights on social media. That's why you see these fights in the street. That's why you see these fights between family members. Because they don't know how to fight the proper way. And here's what you need to know. Before this whole thing with Iran and Israel, we were already in a battle. And it wasn't a battle against another nation. It's not even a battle against your spouse or your boss or the opposite political party or a different race. It's a spiritual battle for your soul. It's a spiritual battle for your family. It's a spiritual battle for your purpose. It's a spiritual battle for your peace and your future. And unless you know how to fight, you cannot walk in victory. And here's the thing about this battle. This battle cannot be won in your own strength. This battle needs a supernatural armor, and you need to learn to be ready. Because here's the wonderful news. Here's what you need to know, okay? This battle, the victory in this battle is not only possible. You ready for this? It's promised. And the Bible doesn't just tell us that victory in the spiritual battles is not only possible. It is promised. The Bible promises us that if we put on, that if we fight the way God wants us to fight, that we will experience victory. You know why? Because we have a champion that's never lost. Because God has never lost a battle. And when we fight not just with him, but when we fight his way, victory is guaranteed. Amen. So we're going to be starting that series today. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to explore one of the most powerful and practical teachings in the New Testament. And we're going to look at what is popularly known as the armor of God that is found in Ephesians 6. And in Ephesians 6, Paul mentions six elements of the spiritual armor of God. And each of these elements is a spiritual principle that allows us to defeat the enemy to be able to walk in victory. Paul says that our battle is not with our spouse. That our battle is not with our loved ones. That our battle is not with our neighbors. That it is a spiritual battle that needs spiritual weapons. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at each of those principles, at each of those pieces of the armor, and we're going to learn how to get battle ready to be able to live in victory. How many of you guys want victory in all the areas of your life? Hey, what if you could have victory over your finances? What if you could have victory over the addictions? What if you could have victory with your kids and your marriage? Man, it's possible. It's not only promised. It's not only possible, it's promised. Well, let's look at the passage that's going to guide us in this series. Go with me right there to Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 14. And we're going to look at the first element today. Look at what Paul says here. He says, finally, be strong in what? In the Lord and in his mighty power. So from the very get-go, you got to know that the strength for this battle is not your own, but it's his. Amen. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Look at this. He says what? Put on. Here's what you got to know. This is a choice. It's not automatic. It's got to be intentional. Okay. You got to put on. You have to make the decision. You have to be intentional about putting these on. He says, put on the full armor of God. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle or our battle or our war is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. And here Paul begins with the six elements, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, Paul begins the list of the armor with something that most of us would not think would be the first thing that we need. The belt. You would probably think, well, Paul, if Paul was going to talk about going to battle, he would start with the shield or the sword or at the very least, the chest plate. But Paul begins with the belt. Why? Well, here's the reason why. And here's the importance of knowing, of interpreting the word of God, not in our context, but in its original context. In our context, a belt, it's more decorative. But for the Roman soldier, the belt was not decorative, it was functional. It wasn't optional, it was necessary. The belt was what held everything together for the Roman soldier. Without the belt, the Roman soldier would not be able to secure its breastplate. Without the belt, the Roman soldier could not yield his sword. Without the belt, the Roman soldier did not have support, stability, mobility, or strength in battle. For the Roman soldier, its armor began with the belt. Now, catch this, church. For the believer, for the Christian, truth is what we need to begin with. That's why Paul says that it is the belt of truth, because it is truth that holds everything together for the believer. It is truth that allows your faith to hold together in difficult times. It is truth that keeps you from falling apart when pressure comes. It is truth that keeps you from being entangled in lies. And it is truth that prepares you to move and fight in victory. That's why Paul begins with the belt. And that's why, as we're going to learn today, the number one strategy of the enemy, the number one attack of the enemy is deception. The number one, we see that from the beginning. We're going to see that in just a moment. Here's why. Because if he can lie to you, he can control you. See, some of you cannot let go of things because you have believed a lie that the enemy has told you. If the enemy can twist the truth, then he can twist your destiny. And that is why Paul says, hey, if we're going to fight and if we're going to win and if we're going to stand our ground, we need to begin with the belt of truth. So what I want to do today is I want to give you really quickly three aspects about the truth or the belt of truth in our context. Number one, I want to answer, what is truth? What truth does Paul refer to? But second, I want us to look at how we can stand the schemes of the enemy, the attacks of the enemy when it comes to the truth. And then third, I want to talk about how to put on the belt of truth in our lives. Are you with me? All right, let's go. Number one, here's the first one. What is truth? Would you fill that in your outline? What is truth? Well, here's what you need to know. This is really important. Truth is not facts or opinion. Did you hear me? Truth is not popular vote. Truth is not trends or traditions. Here it is. Truth is God's reality. Truth is what God says. Okay? And there's three layers of truth that I want you to be aware of so that you can fasten around yourself to be able to walk in victory. Here's the first layer, okay? The first layer is that Jesus is the truth. Truth begins with Jesus. Look at what Jesus says. You know this verse in John 14, 6. He says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Church, hear me. Truth is not a doctrine. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus doesn't teach truth. He is the truth. And if you want to know truth, you need to begin with Jesus because Jesus is the truth. So what does it mean to put on the belt of truth? Well, to put on the belt of truth means that you begin with a close relationship with Jesus. That the closer you are to him, the closer you will be to truth. That the more you know him, the more you will know truth. Jesus is the truth because the more you know him, the more grounded you will be. For those of you, ladies, you're going to have to excuse me. I was trying to think of an illustration that would be understanding for you, but just excuse me on this one. So think about your car alignment, right? Guys, we know about car alignment. You know, when your wife hits the curve and your car gets out of alignment. Ladies now know what I'm talking about, right? Think about your car alignment. If your car is out of alignment, what happens to your wheels? They wear out faster. And you have to constantly be fighting for your car to not go the other way. When you are not in alignment with Jesus, you'll start drifting into confusion and then into spiritual danger. And here's the thing. You ready for this? Just as a car out of alignment wears out the tires, when a person is out of alignment with Jesus, they'll wear out in life faster. The truth begins with Jesus. Jesus is the truth. But here's the second layer of truth. Fill this out in your outline. The second layer of truth is that the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is the truth. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what Jesus said about the Word of God in John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them. In other words, make them pure, make them new. Sanctify them by the what? The truth. Not a truth, but Jesus is saying the truth. And what is the truth, Jesus? Your word is truth. Culture, emotions, traditions, or trend are not the truth. Because all those things change. All those things are unstable. All those things waver. The only unchangeable, everlasting truth is the Word of God. It is the only one that doesn't change. In fact, look at what the Bible tells us in Psalm 119, 16, one, no, 16. I made a typo there. 119, 16. It says, the sum of your words is what? Truth. And every one of your righteous rules endures what? Forever. Church, this is not a religious book. Some people have turned it into a religion. But this is not a religious book. This is the everlasting, unchangeable word of God, which is true. And every promise can be counted on, and every command is trustworthy, and every promise is alive, and every word in it is breathed by God. So the first layer of truth is that Jesus is the truth. The second layer is that the word of God is the truth. Listen, if you want to hear God's voice, open the word of God. If you want to defeat the enemy, speak the word of God to the enemy. Amen? But here's the third layer of truth. The third layer is that the Holy Spirit reveals truth. See, the reason some people open the Bible and they say, I don't get it, doesn't make sense, it's old, is because they're lacking the Holy Spirit. It's because it is the Holy Spirit that brings the word of God to life. And hear me. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the baptism and in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And here's one reason we believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because a spirit-filled believer will not walk in confusion. Because he is a spirit of order and he is a spirit of truth. Look at what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 16:13. He said, but when he, who's he, Jesus? The spirit of what? Truth comes. He will guide you into what? Into all kinds of emotions? Into all kinds of religious fanatic craziness? No. The Spirit of God leads us to what? To all truth. And listen, when you are baptized, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you receive more than power. We know that power comes when the Holy Spirit comes. But we receive more than power. We receive discernment. And you know what discernment means? It means that you are able to begin to see through the lies, that you begin to feel when something's off, and you can begin to recognize the schemes and the deceptions of the enemy in your life. Has it ever happened to you that there was something that you just, something deep in your spirit just told you that something was off, either about a person, a situation, or a decision? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. You know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit activating the belt of truth in your life. It was him giving you discernment. It was him guiding you, because the truth not only guides, but it protects us well. And we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings the word of life into our lives. He confirms it. He reveals it. And he brings the truth into our lives. So number one, what is truth? What is the truth that we need to fasten around ourselves? Jesus, the word of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. Let's go to the second point. How can we stand against the lies of the enemy? Well, here's what you need to know. And you can fill this out in your outline. And that is that the enemy wants to unbelt you. He wants to pull your pants down. He wants to embarrass you. He does. He wants to strip you of truth. Why? Here's why. Because everything begins with the truth. And what doesn't begin in truth will not last. Look at what Ephesians 6:11 tells us. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's what? Schemes. Now, listen to me. Why didn't Paul say, so that you can stand against the devil's power? Or against the devil's violence? Why schemes? Well, because as I mentioned, deception is the devil's number one strategy. That was the first strategy that he used. And that was the strategy that ruined Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? And it all began with one question. Let's read that question. It's found in Genesis 3:11. He said, did God really say? Remember that? Remember when he was talking to Eve and he said, did God really say not to eat of that tree? Now, let me tell you what the devil does. Because you think the devil is going to bring you a big lie. And the devil doesn't bring you big lies. He is so deceitful that he will tell you a lie that is 99% truth, but it's missing what that 1%. And here's what he wants to do. He wants to get you to doubt. He wants to get you to question. That's exactly what he did with Eve. He put doubt in her mind and he said, did God really say that? And did you notice that he twisted what God said? Because that's a scheme. And listen, he got Eve to doubt, and that one doubt casted all humanity into a curse, and it changed the beauty that God had established for us. So the enemy is not going to come roaring with intimidation. He's not going to come and attack you with a huge lie. Listen to me. His best strategy is to whisper to you small lies that deceive you and get you to doubt. So if you're going to stand against the schemes of the enemy, you need to know how he works. And you need to know why you need the belt of truth. And hear me, please hear me. If you don't know how to distinguish the voice of God and the voice of the enemy, you're going to fall for his schemes. Let me tell you, the enemy, you know, my heart breaks as I see all these people praying to La Santa Muerte. Have you heard about that? They have believed one of the most ridiculous lies. Here's why. Jesus said that the devil not only lies, just as Jesus not only speaks truth, but is the truth, the devil not only lies. Jesus said that he's the father of lies. Look at what he says in John 8:44. Look at this. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his what? Character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, I think most of us use GPS in our phones, right? Most of us use our phones whenever we want to get somewhere. Can you imagine if your phone suddenly confused north with south and east with west? You would still be moving, but you would be moving in the wrong direction. And listen, here's what the enemy does with a lot of believers. He doesn't get them to stop. He just gets them to move in the wrong direction. And without the truth, you could be having a lot of activity in your life, but in the wrong direction. So you need to know how the enemy works. You need to know that his trick is deception, that his trick is to get you to doubt, that his trick is to get you to question what God has said. And I want to say this very respectfully. I believe that one of the reasons that many people today are unstable, anxious, and lost is because they are not belted to anything that is solid and strong and truth. Because when you are belted to the truth, you will stand. That's what Paul says. Here's the third one. Third and final point. How do we live buckled in the truth? The third point that I want to talk to you about is living buckled in the truth. Okay, now we know a lot. We know what the truth is. We know what the belt of truth is. We know how the enemy tries to unbelt us. But how do we live buckled with the belt of truth? Well, here's what you need to know. Truth is not just something you believe. Did you understand that? Truth is not just something you believe. Truth needs to be something you live. And what you believe is not really a belief until you live it. And we need to be able, if the belt of truth is going to protect us and give us victory, we need to be able to live it out. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 6:14. He says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around what? Your waist. You know, Pastor Manolo gave me a really expensive belt a couple of years ago. And he said, hey, this doesn't fit me anymore. I think his dryer is shrinking his clothes. Now I'm just fine. He gave me a really expensive belt. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm pretty cheap. Frugal. Yes, I'm frugal. I'm frugal. And what I mean by that, let me tell you. The good stuff that I have lasts a long time. Because I don't like using it. I've gotten really good shoes that are really expensive. And I'm very selective about where I wear them. You know? So anyways, Pastor Manolo gave me a belt. And he said, hey, this belt's pretty expensive. You know how many times I've worn it? Once. You know where it is? Hanging in my closet. Why do I tell you that? Because a lot of Christians have received the belt of truth, but instead of putting it on, it's hanging somewhere in their closet. And they know the truth, but they don't put it on. So how do we live buckled with the belt of truth? Let me give you three foundational ways to do that. Number one, the first way to live buckled in the truth is to be in the word daily. And I emphasize the word daily. Hear me out. You cannot fight the enemy with empty ammunition. You cannot. You cannot stand against the liar if you are not filled with the truth. And the only way to be filled with the truth is to be in the word of God daily. And not just to read it, but to speak it out. You know, funny story. We are doing the best we can to raise our kids and disciple our kids. And yesterday, we were coming home and I was talking with my kids about the whole war that may have started. And Nathan asked me this question. He said, Dad, what's going on? So I was explaining to him about Iran and Israel. And I said, they're basically enemies. And here's what Nathan said to me. Here's what he said. But Jesus said we need to love our enemies. I was a proud dad at that moment. Right? But the word of God cannot come out of you if the word of God doesn't get in you. And that is why you got to be in the word daily. Here's the second one. Because they're telling me I got to finish. The second way to live buckled in the truth. You ready? Is to walk with integrity. Hey, you can't declare the truth if you don't live the truth. I knew it was going to get quiet. Truth is not just what you know, it's how you live. Are you telling the truth? Are you living truthfully? Or is there deception, compromise, and hidden sin in your life? Because see, if your private life doesn't match your public life, then your armor has a gap and the enemy will find it. Did you hear me? If your public life is not the same as your private life, there is a gap in your armor and the enemy will find it and he will attack you. So to live with the belt of truth, you got to walk with integrity. You got to do the right thing. You got to be the same person all the time. And here's the third way to live buckled in the truth. You got to pray for the spirit of truth. Pray. I already told you the Holy Spirit reveals and he guides us to all truth. So we need to pray because truth is not just about facts, but truth is about being in alignment with God. And we need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth to guide us. And every morning you ought to be praying for the Holy Spirit upon yourself. You ought to be praying for the Holy Spirit upon your kids. And here's three things you can pray. You ready? Let me help you to know how to pray. Number one, ask the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts. A lot of the truth happens in our thoughts. God, guide my thoughts. Guide my thoughts to believe and think about your truth. Here's the second one. Holy Spirit, give conviction to my heart. Because a lot of times we know things here that we don't feel here. And we know that doing this is a sin, but then our heart tells us otherwise. And what do? We go with our heart. And here's the third thing. Ask the Holy Spirit to expose any lies that you may be believing in your life. Holy Spirit, is there any lies I'm believing in my marriage? Is there any lies I'm believing about my children? Is there any lies I'm believing about myself? So listen, before you post anything, before you react, before you make any big decision, ask the Holy Spirit to speak truth in your life. If we begin with truth, we're going to begin the right way to have victory in our lives. We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but he didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you, transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations! If you made that prayer, God lives in you and now you have a new life in him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.